This is Carol Foster of 2 Timothy 2:15 Resources, and I am so excited that you're going to join me today as we study God's Word. The response new Messianic believers give when asked why they initially visited a Messianic congregation is, "We knew there had to be more." As we study together, we will begin to see that yes, indeed, there has to be more. For additional study aids to assist you in studying along with us, go to our website, sectim.org. The title of our session today is The Inside Fix. Now, you don't look in the mirror, but you know that you need to be fixed. You know that something's broken. You know that you're not making it. You're not being everything you should be. And maybe you're weary. I understand that. But I've got good news for you. That can be fixed. You can become the woman or the man that God designed you to be. He has it all in His plan, and we're going to see that plan today. I am so excited about the potential of the study that we're doing. I'm excited because I feel like what God is going to keep saying to us is, "Now, guard my glory, guard my glory." And you're not going to say, "How do I do that?" You're going to understand how you can guard His glory, how you can give others a correct opinion of God, how you can give others a correct estimate of who God is, so that as they see you moving through life in various situations of life, they will see how God will have us to behave. So, as we live out our lives before them, they will see God in us. As we live our lives out before them, we will be everything that God created us to be. You say, "Well, that's really what I want. I really want to be everything that I should be." And I understand that. I do understand that. And you know what? I love your heart. I love your heart. And God loves it too. I want us to open our Bibles to an awesome, awesome verse. And it's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth." Let's look at this verse a little closer. Rabbi Shaul wrote, "But we should always give thanks to God for you." Now, he's writing to a people that were not absolutely perfect. In the previous verses of this chapter, Rabbi Shaul addressed the false teachings that were being taught in some of the churches. He's writing to a people that have some situations in their life and in the church that really needed to be changed. But he looks at them, and this is what he says. He says, "We should always give thanks to God for you, brethren beloved by the Lord. That's why I call you beloved, because you are beloved of the Lord, and I want you to know that. I want you to understand that." In contrast to the unbelievers he just mentioned, the Thessalonians were a source of joy to the apostles. Shaul felt a strong obligation to thank God on their behalf continually. They were his brothers and sisters in the faith, loved by the Lord, though hated and persecuted by their godless neighbors. That God chooses to save some, though he loves all men, should lead believers to thank God for His grace on behalf of the elect. And so, this is what he says, "Because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation." The reason for the apostles' joy and gratitude to God was His choice of the Thessalonian believers for eternal salvation. From the beginning, or before the creation of the world, God chose them, not on the basis of their love for Him or any merit on their part, but because of His love for them. Shaul consistently taught that the initiative in salvation comes from God, not man. This means that what God uses to effect salvation is the work of His Holy Spirit, His Ruach HaKodesh, who sets aside chosen individuals for lives of holiness and separation from sin. The Spirit, the Ruach, regenerates indwells and baptizes believers into the body of Messiah. The human aspect of salvation is belief in the truth of the gospel. The Ruach HaKodesh then uses the Word of God to purify the believer's life. God picked you out. He chose you from the very beginning, when he created the heavens and the earth, and you're going to see it in just a little bit. He chose you from the beginning for salvation. Salvation from sin, salvation from the penalty of sin, but also salvation from your flesh. Salvation that's going to take you and make you more and more into his image. Listen, these are marvelous, marvelous verses. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that you write them down and put them on the refrigerator or put them on your bathroom mirror so that you can see them. So you, every time that you pass by, you see the truth of who God says you are. Now, verse 13 doesn't stop there. It continues, "But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation." Now listen carefully. Through sanctification. What does he want to do? He wants to take you, set you apart, consecrate you, work in you, so that you can glorify him. That's what he wants to do. This is a sanctification process. So, what does that mean? God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Okay, so how's he going to sanctify you? He's going to sanctify you by the work of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and by you having faith in the truth. That's why we want you to discover truth for yourself. That's why we want you to study. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15, our studies go through the book, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And we study that book, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, so that you know the whole counsel of God. But this topic is a special, and I just was longing to teach you about guarding his glory. So, now listen to what he says in verse 14 of the same chapter. "It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." It was for this. Rabbi Shaul is now going to explain the purpose, the reason that God chose you for his salvation. You've got to get this verse to store it deep in your heart, to know the purpose in your life. "It was for this he called you through our gospel, through the good news, that you," and I love it, here we go, listen carefully, "that you may gain the glory of the Lord." That you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Shaul is saying, I called you for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit, and faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, so that I might make you like Yeshua, so that you might have his glory. Now, look closely at the pronouns within the context of these two verses. God has chosen you. He has called you. Why has he called you? That you may gain the glory of Yeshua, that we would be like Yeshua. So, let's go back and review what we've previously studied in Bereshit, or Genesis 1, verse 27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created us. He made us in his image. He made us so that if you saw Adam, or if you saw Eve, you would see God, because he was created in the image of God. Until sin entered the world. And then, when they didn't believe God, and when they chose not to obey God, they became sinners. Now, remember that in Romans 5:12, we read that by one man sin came into the world. And then in Romans 3:23, we learned that all have sinned and fallen short. Now listen, think this thing through. They fall short of the glory of God. Here's the true and exact estimate of who God is. And all men, they come up, and some are better than others. Some are more like God and more like Yeshua, more Messiah-like than others. But no matter what, all have fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter who you are. All have fallen short of the glory of God. So, what God wants to do is to rescue these men, these women, and he wants to take them and so work in them through the Ruach, the Spirit, and through faith in the truth, that they reach the glory of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, our Messiah, so that you look at them and more and more and more, oh beloved, you are looking like God. You're looking like what God intended you to be. Now, in all of this, I want to tell you that it is a process. It's a process. And you have to be patient with yourself. And you have to know that it is a process, and God has made the means to take you through the process. Now, what is the process? How is God going to do this? How is God going to take you, who was meant to be in the image of God, in the glory of God, you who have fallen, who have sinned, who now has a battle with the flesh because the flesh is crying, give me, give me, give me, and you want to give it, give it, give it to the flesh. I mean, I've got too much flesh right now because my flesh was saying, feed me, feed me, feed me. And I did. And I knew I shouldn't do it, but I did it. So, what happens when we do that? What's the answer? What's the solution? And so many times we try to solve it in our flesh when God has a way of solving it. Let's go back to our verses in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 through 14. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and by faith in the truth. And the truth is Yeshua HaMashiach. And who called them? We again need to pay attention to that pronoun. He. Who called him? God had called them. And how were they called? It was for this he called you through our gospel. And this is what I want you to see. What is this verse saying? That you, not somebody else, but that you may gain the glory. Now, remember the definition of glory: to give the correct opinion, the correct estimate of who or what someone is. Whose glory are you going to gain? Of our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. If I gain the glory of our Lord Yeshua, then what I am doing is I am being changed from glory to glory into the very image of God. I want us to read 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That's what 2 Corinthians says. I want us to look closer at this verse. But we all, with unveiled face. And that unveiled face in the context means we've come to know Yeshua is our Messiah. Salvation has happened. Now that's what the unveiled face means. But we all, with unveiled face, and the verse continues, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. We are changed from glory to glory, just as from the Lord. It's the Lord that's going to do it, and we're going to see how in just a minute. You want to be able to glorify God in your body, which is His, and we're going to learn how. Learn how to glorify Him in our bodies. We're talking about gaining the glory of Yeshua HaMashiach so that we can guard that glory. It is possible. It is so possible for us to be what God wants us to be. And I don't want us to miss that. So, let's look again at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then I want to show you how we can gain that glory. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Now, what I'm going to show you is absolute truth. And if we will believe it, if we will understand that what we're going to see are His truths for life, and we will embrace them, Then we will gain the glory of our Lord Yeshua. So here it is. Man is meant to be an exact image of God. And we read in Romans 3:32 that man sins and that he falls short of the glory of God. So, what does God do? I want us to go to John chapter 1. Now, the Gospel of John was written after the other Gospels, and it was written for the purpose of showing people that Yeshua was the Messiah, that he was the Lord, that he was the Son of God, so that believing on him, they might have eternal life. They might have life in his name, as John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So when John begins his gospel, what he does is he takes us all the way back to the beginning. He takes us back to the beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth. And this is what he says in John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, if you can just imagine the chair next to me being filled with the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, I know that no man has seen God, so it's an empty chair. But in the beginning was the Word. So imagine that I'm the Word, and the Word was with God. So I'm sitting right next to an empty chair that has God in it, so to speak. All right? So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I'm with God next to this empty chair. And it says, "And the Word was God." Oh, the one in the chair, the empty chair, is God. And the Word is God. They're both God. This is why Yeshua says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." We have the same attributes. We have the same characteristics. And so it says in John chapter 1, verse 2, "And the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God." We saw that the one sitting next to the empty chair is the Word, that the Word is with God, that the Word is God, and that he was in the beginning with God. He's always been. Let's continue to read verse 3. "All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." And so, he is the Creator. He was there when it said in Bereshit, or Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image." It was God the Father. It was God the Son. The Word of God, which is the Spirit of God. And so, God wants us to understand that the Word that was in the beginning, that was with God, that it is God. Now, from there, what I want us to do is, I want us to drop down to verse 14 of the same chapter. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Did you hear that? He became flesh, and he dwelt among us. So, now just imagine me, as representing the Word, getting up, so to speak, leaving the side of the chair, and taking upon myself flesh. And when the Word becomes flesh, then what does the Word do? The Word comes and dwells among us. The Word leaves heaven, is confined to the womb of a woman, is born of that woman, becomes flesh. Why? We'll see that next. All right, so he becomes flesh, and because he becomes flesh, then we can behold his glory. "And the Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory." We beheld a true estimate, a true opinion of him. And who is him? We beheld his glory of the only begotten from the Father. In other words, this is the Son of God, as the only begotten from the Father. This is the only one that is born of God, a human being that is God in the flesh. the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So what we have is Yeshua coming to earth and becoming a man. In our last session together, we looked at Psalms chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. And it said, "What is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Now, why is he becoming a man? I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. And we're going to find that the author of Hebrews is going to quote Psalms chapter 8. "For he did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we're speaking. But one has testified somewhere, saying, 'What is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and have appointed him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet.'" Let's look a little closer at these verses. Hebrews 2 tells us, "He did not subject to angels the world to come, concerning which we are speaking." In other words, there's an age to come and a world to come. "But one has testified somewhere, saying, 'What is man that you remember him, or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him, man, for just a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have appointed him over the works of your hands, and you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjection all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not see all things that have been subjected to him.'" This is like what they were to be in Bereshit, or Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Now, I want us to go back to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. "But we do see him who was made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Yeshua, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." But we do see him. Him who? Him Yeshua. We do see him. Now watch what it says. "We do see him made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Yeshua, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, so that by the grace of God he may taste death for every man." Now listen to verse 14. "Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." So, what is this verse telling us? Therefore, since the children, since you and I are flesh and blood, it says, he, Yeshua, likewise also partook of the same. He leaves the Father in heaven, and the Word becomes flesh. Flesh and blood. Why? So that he might, through death, render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. So Yeshua came, and we're going to see it in the next program. I am so excited, I can't wait. We're going to see that it is Yeshua that enables us to glorify him and to be changed into the glory of our Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach. He does it by becoming flesh. He does it by dying. He does it by taking over the power of the evil one and setting you free. I can't wait to teach you in our next program together.
Thank you for joining us today as we delved into the beautiful truths of God's Word to indeed discover that there has to be more. I pray that the Word applied to your daily life will bring a deeper understanding of His love letter written just to you. Let me remind you that we have additional study aids to assist you with our studies together on our website, secTIM.org. May this day fill you with the love of God, joy, and shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken in your